Welcome to day 203 of my Everyday Bible. This is Rita, your host, and today we are reading from the book of Isaiah, chapters 28 through 30, and we're reading this week from the New American Standard Bible. So beginning at Isaiah 28, starting at verse 1. Woe to the proud crown of the drunkards of Ephraim, and to the fading flower of its glorious beauty, which is at the head of the fertile valley of those who are overcome with wine. Behold, the Lord has a strong and mighty agent, as a storm of hail, a tempest of destruction, like a storm of mighty overflowing waters. He has cast it down to the earth with his hand. The proud crown of the drunkards of Ephraim is trodden underfoot, and the fading flower of its glorious beauty, which is at the head of the fertile valley, will be like the first ripe fig prior to summer, which one sees, and as soon as it is in his hand, he swallows it. In that day, the Lord of hosts will become a beautiful crown and a glorious diadem to the remnant of his people, a spirit of justice for him who sits in judgment, a strength to those who repel the onslaught at the gate. And these also reel with wine and stagger from strong drink. The priest and the prophet reel with strong drink. They are confused by wine. They stagger from strong drink. They reel while having visions. They totter when rendering judgment. For all the tables are full of filthy vomit, without a single clean place. To whom would he teach knowledge, and to whom would he interpret the message? Those just weaned from milk, those just taken from the breast? For he says, order on order, order on order, line on line, line on line, a little here, a little there. Indeed, he will speak to this people through stammering lips and a foreign tongue. He who said to them, here is rest, give rest to the weary, and here is repose, but they would not listen. So the word of the Lord to them will be, order on order, line on line, a little here, a little there, that they may go and stumble backward, be broken, snared, and taken captive. Therefore, hear the word of the Lord, O scoffers, who rule this people who are in Jerusalem, because you have said, we have made a covenant with death, and with Sheol we have made a pact. The overwhelming scourge will not reach us when it passes by, for we have made falsehood our refuge, and we have concealed ourselves with deception. Therefore, thus says the Lord God, behold, I am laying in Zion a stone, a tested stone, a costly cornerstone for the foundation, firmly placed. He who believes in it will not be disturbed. I will make justice the measuring line, and righteousness the level. Then hail will sweep away the refuge of lies, and the waters will overflow the secret place. Your covenant with death will be canceled, and your pact with Sheol will not stand. When the overwhelming scourge passes through, then you become its trampling place. As often as it passes through, it will seize you. For morning after morning, it will pass through any time during the day or night, and it will be sheer terror to understand what it means. The bed is too short on which to stretch out, and the blanket is too small to wrap oneself in. For the Lord will rise up as at Mount Perazim. He will be stirred up as in the valley of Gibeon, to do his task, his unusual task, and to work, his extraordinary work. And now do not carry on as scoffers, or your fetters will be made stronger. For I have heard from the Lord God of hosts of decisive destruction on all the earth. Give ear and hear my voice. Listen and hear my words. Does the farmer plow continually to plant seed? Does he continually turn and harrow the ground? Does he not level its surface and sow dill and scatter cumin and plant wheat and rows, barley in its place and rye within its area? For his God instructs and teaches him properly. For dill is not threshed with a threshing sledge, nor is the cartwheel driven over cumin. But dill is beaten out with a rod and cumin with a club. Grain for bread is crushed. Indeed, he does not continue to thresh it forever. Because the wheel of his cart and his horses eventually damage it, he does not thresh it longer. This also comes from the Lord of hosts, who has made his counsel wonderful and his wisdom great. Chapter 29. Woe, O Ariel! Ariel, the city where David once camped. Add year to year, observe your feasts on schedule. I will bring distress to Ariel, and she will be a city of lamenting and mourning. And she will be like an Ariel to me. I will camp against you, encircling you. I will set siege works against you, and I will raise up battle towers against you. Then you will be brought low. From the earth you will speak, and from the dust where you are prostrate, your words will come. Your voice will also be like that of a spirit from the ground, and your speech will whisper from the dust. But the multitude of your enemies will become like fine dust, and the multitude of the ruthless ones like the chaff which blows away. And it will happen instantly, suddenly. From the Lord of hosts you will be punished with thunder and earthquake and loud noise, with whirlwind and tempest and the flame of a consuming fire. And the multitude of all the nations who wage war against Ariel, even all who wage war against her and her stronghold, and who distress her, will be like a dream, a vision of the night. It will be as when a hungry man dreams, and behold, he is eating. But when he awakens, his hunger is not satisfied. Or, as when a thirsty man dreams, and behold, he is drinking. But when he awakens, behold, he is faint, and his thirst is not quenched. Thus the multitude of all the nations will be who wage war against Mount Zion. Be delayed and wait. Blind yourselves and be blind. They become drunk, but not with wine. They stagger, but not with strong drink. For the Lord has poured over you a spirit of deep sleep. He has shut your eyes, the prophets, and he has covered your heads, the seers. The entire vision will be to you like the words of a sealed book, which when they give it to the one who is literate, saying, "Please read this," he will say, "I cannot, for it is sealed." Then the book will be given to the one who is illiterate, saying, "Please read this," and he will say, "I cannot read." Then the Lord said, "Because this people draw near with their words and honor me with their lip service, but they remove their hearts far from me, and their reverence for me consists of tradition learned by rote, therefore, behold, I will once again deal marvelously with this people, wondrously marvelous, and the wisdom of their wise men will perish, and the discernment of their discerning men will be concealed. Woe to those who deeply hide their plans from the Lord, and whose deeds are done in a dark place, and they say, 'Who sees us?' or 'Who knows us?' You turn things around. Shall the potter be considered as equal with the clay, that what is made would say to its maker, 'He did not make me,' or what is formed say to him who formed it, 'He has no understanding'? Is it not yet just a little while before Lebanon will be turned into a fertile field, and the fertile field will be considered as a forest? On that day, the deaf will hear words of a book, and out of their gloom and darkness the eyes of the blind will see. The afflicted also will increase their gladness in the Lord, and the needy of mankind will rejoice in the Holy One of Israel. For the ruthless will become an end, and the scorner will be finished. Indeed, all who are intent on doing evil will be cut off. Who cause a person to be indicted by a word, and ensnare him who agitates at the gate, and defraud the one in the right with meaningless arguments? Therefore, thus says the Lord, who redeemed Abraham concerning the house of Jacob, Jacob shall not now be ashamed, nor shall his face now turn pale, but when he sees his children, the work of my hands, in his midst, they will sanctify my name. Indeed, they will sanctify the Holy One of Jacob, and will stand in awe of the God of Israel. Those who err in mind will know the truth, and those who criticize will accept instruction. Chapter 30. Woe to the rebellious children, declares the Lord, who execute a plan, but not mine, and make an alliance, but not of my spirit, in order to add sin to sin, who proceed down to Egypt without consulting me, to take refuge in the safety of Pharaoh, and to seek shelter in the shadow of Egypt. Therefore, the safety of Pharaoh will be your shame, and the shelter in the shadow of Egypt your humiliation. For their princes are at Zoan, and their ambassadors arrive at Hanes. Everyone will be ashamed because of a people who cannot profit them, who are not for help or profit, but for shame and also for reproach. The Oracle Concerning the Beasts of the Negev. Through a land of distress and anguish, from where come lioness and lion, viper and flying serpent, they carry their riches on the backs of young donkeys and their treasure on camel's humps to a people who cannot profit them, even Egypt, whose help is vain and empty. Therefore, I have called her Rahab, who has been exterminated. Now go, write it on a tablet before them, and inscribe it on a scroll, that it may serve in the time to come as a witness forever. For this is a rebellious people, false sons, sons who refuse to listen to the instruction of the Lord, who say to the seers, you must not see visions, and to the prophets, you must not prophesy to us what is right. Speak to us pleasant words, prophesy illusions. Get out of the way, turn aside from the path. Let us hear no more about the Holy One of Israel. Therefore, thus says the Holy One of Israel, since you have rejected this word and have put your trust in oppression and guile and have relied on them, therefore this iniquity will be to you like a breach about to fall, a bulge in a high wall whose collapse comes suddenly in an instant, whose collapse is like the smashing of a potter's jar, so ruthlessly shattered that a shard will not be found among its pieces. To take fire from the hearth or to scoop water from a cistern. For thus the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, has said, in repentance and rest you will be saved. In quietness and trust is your strength. But you were not willing, and you said, no, for we will flee on horses. Therefore you shall flee, and we will ride on swift horses. Therefore those who pursue you shall be swift. 1,000 will flee at the threat of one man, You will flee at the threat of five until you are left as a flag on a mountaintop and as a signal on a hill. Therefore, the Lord longs to be gracious to you, and therefore he waits on high to have compassion on you. For the Lord is a God of justice. How blessed are all those who long for him. O people in Zion, inhabitant in Jerusalem, you will weep no longer. He will surely be gracious to you at the sound of your cry. When he hears it, he will answer you. Although the Lord has given you bread of privation and water of oppression, he, your teacher, will no longer hide himself, but your eyes will behold your teacher. Your ears will hear a word behind you. This is the way, walk in it. Whenever you turn to the right or to the left, and you will defile your graven images overlaid with silver, your molten images plated with gold. You will scatter them as an impure thing and say to them, "Be gone." Then he will give you rain for the seed which you will sow in the ground, and bread from the yield of the ground, and it will be rich and plenteous. On that day your livestock will graze in a roomy pasture. Also, the oxen and the donkeys, which work the ground, will eat salted fodder, which has been winnowed with shovel and fork. On every lofty mountain and on every high hill, there will be streams running with water on the day of the great slaughter when the towers fall. The light of the moon will be as the light of the sun, and the light of the sun will be seven times brighter, like the light of 7 days on the day that the Lord binds up the fracture of his people and heals the bruise he has inflicted. Behold, the name of the Lord comes from a remote place. Burning is his anger and dense is his smoke. His lips are filled with indignation and his tongue is like a consuming fire. His breath is like an overflowing torrent which reaches to the neck to shake the nations back and forth in a sieve and to put in the jaws of the peoples the bridle which leads to ruin. You will have songs as in the night when you keep the festival, and gladness of heart as when one marches to the sound of the flute, to go to the mountain of the Lord, to the rock of Israel. And the Lord will cause his voice of authority to be heard, and the descending of his arm to be seen in fierce anger, and in the flame of a consuming fire, in cloudbursts, downpour, and hailstones. For at the voice of the Lord, Assyria will be terrified when he strikes with the rod, and every blow of the rod of punishment which the Lord will lay on him will be with the music of tambourines and lyres, and in battles, brandishing weapons, he will fight them. For Topheth has long been ready. Indeed, it has been prepared for the king. He has made it deep and large, a pyre of fire with plenty of wood, the breath of the Lord, like a torrent of brimstone, sets it afire. This is the end of today's scripture reading. In today's devotional, I want to focus your attention on one verse that we heard from Isaiah chapter 30, and that is verse 18. That verse reads, "Therefore, the Lord longs to be gracious to you, and therefore he waits on high to have compassion on you. For the Lord is a God of justice. How blessed are all those who long for him." What amazing words. "Therefore, the Lord longs to be gracious to you." Those words were said by the prophet Isaiah to the people of Israel after the prophet had recited to them all the sins of which God was very aware that they had committed against him. And yet, after acknowledging that sin, that backsliding, that rebellion, God says the Lord longs to be gracious to you. He waits on high to have compassion on you. What words and what a revelation of the character of God. This issue of God's grace and the Lord longing to be gracious to people, even after they have committed the most abominable sins you can think of, God still says that He longs to be gracious. He longs to extend His grace. And I want to talk to you about the power of that grace today. What is grace? Grace has many facets, but what's being expressed here in the book of Isaiah is talking about God's unmerited favor, mercy, loving kindness, and affection toward man. Unmerited, meaning it was unearned, it was undeserved. Nothing that was done by the party receiving the grace was deserving of the grace. And yet God Himself says, despite all of your sin, despite all of your shortcomings, despite all of your failure, despite all of your rebellion against me, I still long to have compassion on you. I long to be gracious. I long to extend my mercy, extend my unmerited favor, and extend my loving kindness towards you. This is an attribute of God that if people understood, they would run to Him to receive this amazing grace. Yet, because few people really have a revelation of the preciousness of God's mercy and His loving kindness and His unmerited favor towards man, many times instead of running to God, they will hide from the Lord when they have sinned, when they have stumbled, when they feel that they have disappointed God or rebelled against God or disobeyed God. But the reality is, it's at that very time that we need the grace of God more than any other. The beauty of the grace of God is that it meets the needs of people. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16 talks about our need for grace and that we can run to God to receive it. It says, therefore, let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. When you have failed, when you feel like you have disappointed God, when you haven't followed the Lord with all your heart, maybe you've backslidden, maybe you've sinned, maybe you've just plain disobeyed something God has told you to do, that's the time when you need to draw near, I would say run to, the throne of grace with confidence that you can go there and receive mercy. Mercy is what we need when we have failed, when we have sinned against God. We need mercy. We don't deserve mercy, but we need mercy. Mercy is extended to somebody who doesn't deserve forgiveness, but receives it because the person giving the mercy is merciful, and that would be God. So when we have failed, we need to run to the throne of grace so that we can receive mercy and find God's grace to help us in that time of need. That's why this verse in Isaiah is so very beautiful when it says, the Lord longs to be gracious to you. Therefore, He waits on high to have compassion on you. He was saying these words to the Israelites who were so far from the Lord, so lacking in desire for God, and yet the Lord says He still wanted to be gracious to them. He still wanted to extend mercy. He wanted to extend favor. He wanted to extend His unmerited blessing to these people who had sinned against Him so terribly. It also says that He waits on high to have compassion. He waits. Do you know that God's waiting for you? He's waiting for you to run to Him, to receive grace and help and mercy in time of your need. This is the entire message of the gospel. We hear it here in the Old Testament in the book of Isaiah that God was longing to be gracious to rebellious and sinful people. And we hear it in the New Testament when the Apostle Paul writes about the mercy and grace of God available to people if they would just come with confidence, meaning that you do trust that God means what he says. He says he will give you mercy. He says he will extend his grace no matter how badly you've sinned, how badly you've fallen in the eyes of God, how far from holiness you may have sunk. Doesn't matter. The Lord longs to be gracious to you. He waits on high to have compassion on you. God knows what we're made of, the scripture says. He knows. He knows that without him we can do nothing. He knows that we have no righteousness in ourselves, that we can't keep ourselves from sinning, that we need God's grace for everything. And that's why this promise of God is so beautiful to me. Knowing that the Lord longs to be gracious to me and that he's waiting to have compassion on me, but he's waiting for me to go to him and ask him for that grace, for that mercy, for that favor, and he longs to give it to us. And this is a beautiful promise of God that we find here in the book of Isaiah, and that's reiterated to us again in the New Testament, because the old and the new always agree. It shows the character of God in the Old Testament, and it shows the availability of the grace of God to us in the New Testament because of the work of Christ on the cross. He made that grace and mercy and favor available to us through Jesus. So today, if you feel far from God, I want to encourage you. The Lord waits on high to have compassion on you. Have you not been praying? Have you not been near to the Lord? Have you stumbled in some sin recently and you feel defeated? God waits on high to have compassion on you. He longs to be gracious to you. He knows what your weaknesses are, and yet he's extending his hand of grace to you right now to pull you close to himself. Don't hide away from God because you feel unworthy. That's a lie that the devil tells the people in order to keep them away from the throne of grace. But God himself says, you can come to the throne of grace for help in time of need. You need God when you're feeling the farthest from God, and he's longing to be gracious and waiting to have compassion. Go to him now. He wants to embrace you. He wants to put his arms of grace, mercy, favor, and love around you right now and receive you back just because you come in faith in his word. You trust that he's not a liar, but that his word of promise is true, so you can go to him with confidence that if you ask, you will receive this grace that you come to the Lord for. God bless you and give you a victorious week.